Okay, this is part two of a four-part series, trying to decode the mythology of Rav Kook's Aruch HaTshuva. What does it mean? The words, the references, Kabbalah, what does it mean to have a son of tshuva? So in the previous section, I described the cosmological. Cosmology is a different word for Kabbalah. People oftentimes use the word mysticism to describe Kabbalah. It is an erroneous tag. Kabbalah is very logical. It's not mystical. It's not empirical. You can't prove it with scientific tools. But the workings and mechanics of Kabbalah are very logical, as long as you know the terms and the details. Mysticism is something that's illogical. So that's cosmology. Kabbalah tries to describe not just our world, but the entire cosmos. Our world can be detected by scientific tools. In our world, we know how to behave because of the mitzvahs. We don't have the tools to understand upper worlds between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kabbalah gives us the information about those upper worlds. Okay, and I described how all of reality comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sustains, not just created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's longing to be reunited and realigned in that original state of perfect symmetry and synchronicity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an inner surging called a Ratzon. That inner surging is called Tshuva. That inner surge predates humanity, predates our world, Tshuva Kadma Li'olam, and that is the Tshuva that exists independent of man. So, if Tshuva is Tshuva Olamit, and it encompasses all of reality, even inanimate objects, what is the tshuva of a human being based on? What makes tshuva unique to a human being? And the answer to that question is, because as opposed to all of reality, there's only one creature that has a choice. This inner ratzon that drives the entire cosmos towards trying to reunify and restore its original state of unity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in alignment, that's a surge that happens innately and instinctively. Human beings have a choice whether they want to align with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one difference, freedom of choice. The second difference, and this is an important difference in Kabbalah, and I'll use a word, let me take a few steps back to better explain. Kabbalah is based on understanding the impact of upper worlds that we can't see upon our lower world. Those upper worlds mediate between Hashem, His infinite, non-physical, indivisible presence, and our physical, divided, finite world. And Hashem's essence trickles down, and whatever happens in upper worlds affects lower worlds. But Kabbalah is also bidirectional. Whatever happens in lower worlds also affects upper worlds. So it's not just a top-down effect or impact, it's a bottom-up impact. That's known in Kabbalistic terms. Even Namid Kubalim are familiar with Isra'uta Dila'ila and Isra'usa Isra'uta Dilatata. So, man is on the lowest rung, not in terms of hierarchical importance, but in terms of where we're positioned in this great chain of being. But man's decision for tshuva, and man's decision, and he has to make the decision, unlike mountains and planets and black holes and whatever else in this world doesn't have a decision, is surging towards tshuva, returning to that original state of alignment and symmetry with Hashem. Man has to make the choice. When he chooses, then he affects upper worlds, and he advances this cosmic process of unification, of alignment. Again, it's hard to find the words in English for Kabbalah, so these words are all approximations, alignment, symmetry, synchronicity, unification, but returning back to that original state when everything was HaKadosh Baruch Hu and indivisible. Shem Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, nothing divided, nothing finite, nothing physical. So as Rav Kook writes, he quotes the Gemara in Yoma. Remember, the Gemara in Yoma and Pevav, that's really the core of Rav Kook's mental pool of ideas. Because the Gemara in Yoma Pevav describes tshuva far beyond the vidur of the individual. Gedola tshuva, kadma li'olam, gedola tshuva. So the Gemara says in Yoma Pevav, yachid sha'asa tshuva, mochel en lo uli'olam kula. Someone that does tshuva, then not only does he receive personal absolution and personal penitence, but the entire world receives mechila. So we take that to mean every other person in this world will receive tshuva vicariously through me. But for Rav Kook, not just other people, but the entire cosmos will receive its tshuva advance or its tshuva augmentation. And tshuva for the cosmos doesn't mean moral change or better midos. Tshuva for the cosmos means getting closer to that ultimate state of unity, which history is ineluctably driving towards. And I'll talk about this in the third session about what makes tshuva inevitable. So that's what makes man's tshuva similar, but different. Tshuva is not just improving and repairing and confessing and changing and transforming. Tshuva is a desire to be realigned with Hashem, and by extension, with all of reality, because all of reality is trying to bring, come in better alignment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more unified. And when I move myself back into that synchronicity, back into that alignment, moving myself and the entire world to a higher state, to a better state of realignment. And that's why one of the motives of tshuva, right? I'll just read, since I mentioned it, in Perek Vav, Simin Vav. Kol pula, any activity, she mishtalshelas acharei yishtalsheliot rabot mehatov mehakodesh, which is impacted by the trickle, yishtalsheliot, trickle down of upper worlds. Kishem shehinovas mimekar hakodesh, just like an action that I take is impacted by upper worlds. And again, Kabbalah and freedom of choice don't necessarily dovetail, because if everything's determined or impacted by upper worlds, what freedom do I have? That's an important algorithm, but not for now. Kacha, Perek Vav Simin Vav, Biosek Var Yotzis El Apoel, once you take an action, he meshiva or lishorsha. You're reversing light, light is a metaphor, upwards. He makes agalim liachor. You take these rays that are coming down and you move them back up. You're affecting the upper worlds from your actions in the lower worlds. And that's the bidirectionalism of Kabbalah, in particular the Kabbalah of the Ari HaKadosh, and the bidirectionalism of tshuva. Now, because tshuva is not just a limited improvement and change and transformation, but it's trying to realign yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and by extension, with the world, the impetus for tshuva and the after effect of tshuva can be sensed by a person psychologically, existentially. We would think that tshuva, you feel morally. I feel that I've committed sins. I'm immersed in grief and shame and sadness and frustration. And tshuva lifts all those challenging emotions. And I'll talk about the emotions of tshuva according to Rav Kook. But there's something more internal, that when I'm sinning and I'm immersed in a world of sin, I can no longer see this integration. Sin blocks my ability to appreciate this large picture in which the entire world is integrated, as I talked about in the last year, Skira Achat. So if you take a look in Perek Hey, Simon Gimel, Kol Havarat Achet, anytime you remove a sin, Domeh LaHasarat Davar HaChotzetz Me'al Ha'ein HaRoeh. It's the equivalent of removing a patch from your eye that doesn't let you see this broader equation of all the cosmos. Ve'ofek Riya Shalei Mitgaleh. Now that you remove the blocker and the obstructor, you see the world large, and you see the world whole, and you see the world in its relationship with Hashem, and you see Or Merchavei Shemayim Varetz, horizons that are as broad as heaven and transcend the heaven. So Chet impedes your ability to see this, and Tshuva is realigning yourself, removing these blockers, and feeling a greater sense of belonging. It's like the Rambam describes Karis. Karis isn't a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karis means the next world is spiritual. If you're not a spiritual person, you have no place to be. You don't fit. You're just lost in reality. It's not a punishment. There is only one reality. There isn't a good and a bad. There's one reality. It all stems from Hashem. If you're in sync with that, then you feel meaning, purpose, belonging. You know your place. If you're not aligned with that, then you feel ill, not just in the medical sense. You feel like you have a bad day when you don't sleep, or you're not feeling well, your stomach's just like everyone around you is carrying on their day, and you just don't feel in sync with everyone around you. So cosmologically, up here, Kabbalah, you don't have a place to be. So that's why the Gemara, another Gemara that we're quick quoted a lot, the Gemara says, "In Yuma, Gedola Tshuva Shemivya Rifus Liolam. Tshuva is a healer. Does it mean it's going to heal my headache or corona? Well, possibly, the ultimate tshuva. But even in a specific sense, it will heal my sense of alienation and disillusionment and not belonging and out of sorts, because it will put me into greater alignment. And when I reach that greater alignment, I'll feel serenity, belonging," as he writes in Perek Beis. Perek Beis, there are no simanim, it's a beautiful perek. Hayosher v'hatov banu, the good and the virtuous. Halohu ba behatamatinu el hakol. Hatamatinu, our ability to align ourselves, to synchronize, hatama, with all of reality. The Eich Efshar Lihios Karuam Hinakol. How can they be torn apart from that one reality that stems from Hashem? So either you're in or you're out. And there are different ways to live your life. You're either in, and if you choose not to be in, it's unsustainable because you can't perpetuate. It can last for a generation or two, but it can't last. It's not eternal because there's no reality that's supporting it. All reality comes from Hashem. All reality is going to be aligned with Hashem. So at some point, it's just going to vanish. It's just going to evaporate. And when you perform tshuva, you're filled with a serenity You're filled with a level of comfort. The same way when you come, let's say, to your home after a long trip. Do you call that joy and happiness? Depends who's waiting for you. But you just feel it, okay, now I'm where I belong. It's an internal sense of returning home, the place you belong, the place you feel comfortable with. And that's the refuah of tshuva. As he writes in Perek Zayin, Simen Aleph, Tiva shala tshuva, the nature of tshuva, sheino tenet liadam minucha, serenity, kovid rosh, as well as solemnity, ki achad, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Himenachemes also, it consoles me. Ulamala mikol cheshbon vadas, and more than cognition and intelligence, harehu misaneg al osher hanochem, very powerful phrase, osher hanochem. Osher means the beauty of serenity, the beauty of calm, the beauty of comfort. So the impetus for tshuva, it's not just moral and spiritual and reading a Navi and looking at my chayit and saying, al-chayit. I just sense internally, something's not right in my core. Something's not right in my reality. And to be right in your reality, some people don't ask that question. But if you ask yourself that question, there's only one way to make it right, and that's to realign with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In conclusion, I want to talk about one other aspect that's unique to the Kruk's tshuva as it applies to human tshuva. And that's as follows. I said in the earlier shiur that tshuva is not just a corrective or a response, but it's the core. It's built in. Tshuva kad milio into the universe. Since it's built into the universe, it helps solve the following existential crisis. Every human being is haunted by the gap between his desire to be perfect and his inability to be perfect. It drives people crazy. You have so many ambitions and so many dreams, and you should have those dreams. You don't want to live a life of lethargy and a life of indolence. You want to have dreams, but as hard as you work, you can't ever match your ambitions, assuming those ambitions are positive. I'm not talking about negative or toxic ambitions. So how do you live mentally and painfully with that gap between what you want to achieve and what you can achieve? That's an important psychological question, I'm sure. Many different answers to that question. But for Rav Kook, tshuva is at the core of reality, the core of my reality, which means that everything is in a constant state of flux, surging, moving, evolving. And that means that is shlemus. Shlemus is not achievement. Shlemus is perpetual motion, perpetual growth, perpetual advancement, always moving. You'll never reach your goal, but that's not the core. The world is engaged. The metrics of this world isn't reality and achievements. The metrics of this world are being aligned with that inner ratzon of the universe, which is always moving towards something greater, but by definition will never reach it till the end of history. So as long as you're always moving towards your goals and your ambitions, you are aligned with that reality, and you have reached a state of perfection, even though you haven't reached all your goals. So by tapping into this Kabbalistic idea of tshuva, it's easier for me to console myself as long as I'm trying my utmost to reach my goals. Let's read what Rav Kook says, and I'll read a little bit more of this because it's a very, very subtle but profound idea. Mi baladei perakei simin vav. Mi baladei machsheves ha-tshuva. Without thinking about tshuva, lo yuchal hadam linso manoch. You'll never find peace and calm. You'll never be able to enhance and evolve your spiritual life. Why? So here's the problem. Your inner morality and virtue that Hashem planted in our heart pushes you, compels you to be a good person, to have moral experience, to be perfect at the shlemut. But here's the dilemma. Hashlemut ha-musarit, moral perfection, religious perfection, it's impossible to reach. We're not perfect. And that could drive you batty. That could be very exasperating. If you're always falling, and we all fall, the answer of tshuva is that does not in any way diminish your state of perfection. Me'achar, here's the punchline. She'ikar yesod ha-shlemut. Shlemut is not defined by how perfect you are. Hi ha'ariga, the desire, ha'chefetz, and the yearning, HaKavua El HaShlemut, because that's what sustains the world. You can't get any more perfect than being part of that drive to greater unification and greater alignment and greater improvement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't gauge your achievements. Achievements always fall short of potential. Gauge your desire, and that is Ikar HaShlemut. So this is the second session. We've translated, second shiur, we've translated this cosmic surge for alignment and unification to how does it affect human tshuva? Humans have a choice, and humans affect the process. And because tshuva is not localized to your small cubicle of al-chayit and vidui, it's connecting and aligning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The impetus isn't just spiritual and a sefer and a musar shmuz. The impetus is sensing where you are in the universe, that more existential sense of belonging and how tshuva can better align you with it. Okay.